Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friends, Avery Tretzky and Cody Frankel. Rangers go up 2-0, a perfect weekend at the Garden. Rangers take both games, Knicks take both games. Vibes are high in New York, but we got to talk about playoff P right off the bat. Artemi Panarin, the big hit on TJ Oshie. Everyone's talking about it. It's really fucking annoying, honestly, at this point. I can't wait for the puck to drop in game three just so we can drop it. But let me ask you guys, because on TV, I don't know what the broadcasters were saying. When I saw it live at first, I actually thought it was really bad. I was like, you know, live in action, I was like, oh, this could be a five. But after seeing replays, my opinion has changed. But I want to hear from you guys first before I kind of give you my two cents on it. So whichever one.
I know Avery wants to get into it, and he has more to say about it than me. So I'm just going to be quick. Like, was the hit high? Sure. It absolutely was. At the same time, like, bro, nobody's talking about the fact that, like, right before Oshie had a high stick to Panarin's face. Like, nobody's talking about that. And that call.
Yeah, but that's kind of irrelevant. Like, the hit's, I mean, the
is
hit,
it? That's, you know, the whole reason he retaliated, though. That's
there's
the
a couple reasons why. I mean, Oshie also put him in a fucking headlock before that, too.
Yeah. I mean, like, they were going at it. They were jawing each other all night. Like, it happened, and you know what? It didn't get called, and it is what it is. Should he get suspended for it? I don't really think so. Should he probably have gotten
not? He's not. There's no hearing.
I know, but I'm saying, like, should he have, like, at the, you know, whatever? No, but, like, should he have gotten a minor? Like, yeah, I probably think he should have got a minor penalty, but am I like, it's the craziest call of all time? Like, no, I'm not. And honestly,
but why do you think it should be a minor? Just to, like, police the game a bit, or because you truly thought it was a high hit?
I thought it was a high hit. Off the jump, like, yes, he hit him with the body, but, like, it was a high hit. I mean, he hit his face, like, in my eyes. He hit him right here. So, I mean,
there's no denying the fact that he got him, you know, a little bit in the head. There's no denying that fact.
For sure, which is why he got taken out of the game and checked for a concussion. You know, but Larry Brooks came out with an article recently and said that it's interesting seeing, and I thought this as well, like, it's interesting seeing, you know, Panarin has 1 point in two games, which is fine, right? But it's interesting seeing him, like, take over the game and in another aspect, you know, utilizing his skills that he doesn't really do too often. And I thought he really showed the chippiness and grittiness, you know, on what day was the game? Sunday? On last Sunday?
No, this is Tuesday night.
God, dude, I'm losing my mind. Tuesday? yeah, it's been that kind of week.
Larry Brooks put out an article recently. It must have been today.
Yeah. Like, the game, yeah, I guess it was. It might have been today. I read it today, but yeah. I didn't see the date stamp. But, you know, I thought it was a really good article because, like, I totally agree. I think, like, seeing, you know, if Panarin's not producing right on the scorecard, he needs to find other ways to be crafty. And he's such a good player that, like, just seeing him go out of his comfort zone and play physical, I think, is so important and such a cool thing to see.
Let's not start the Panarin's not producing narrative already, though. He's got
he is producing. I mean, he hasn't had a bad game. Yeah, he played well. He had a goal in game one. Like, there's, you know, in game two, he didn't produce on the scorecard, but he produced in other ways. I mean, I think he is the last person on this team I am concerned about, especially this year. Let's just get that on the record.
Agreed. Avery, your piece?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, I listened to Morning Cup of Hockey this morning, and I thought, I did. I was curious as, you know, what you guys were going to talk about with the Panarin situation. I think Colby made a great point. It took Kucherov a long time to adjust, and Panarin's a similar player where last year he didn't really, you know, when he wasn't scoring, he really didn't do other things. And this was another
thing.
He
shied away from the physicality.
Right. And I hate when people and you kind of have to know the severity of a hit, but I hate when people slow it down at game speed. That's not a dirty hit. Panarin doesn't launch. He doesn't aim for the head. He doesn't, you know, put his elbow into him. It's a clean hit. It's a shoulder to chest with head contact after the fact.
That's what's funny to me, though, Avery, because I thought in game time, I was like, oh, fuck, that was bad. And then slow-mo, I was like, oh, he kind of got shoulder to shoulder.
No, I think other way around. Like, I had no like, thought of it being that bad. And then, like, when you slow it down, you kind of see his head jerk back. But obviously, I'm going to jump to defend Panarin first. He's our guy. But from a non-biased take, too, and I've called out Trouba for his instances. I've called out guys on our team for their instances. I just think that when you look at everything, it wasn't malicious. And Panarin, I think, made a great play on the puck. He aimed for the chest, and he clipped his head a little bit towards the end. But I don't think that's suspendable, and it's not suspendable, clearly, by the NHL. And I don't think it deserved a penalty either. I think it was a clean hit.
I feel like I'm the opposite here. Like, I thought in real time, I was like, oh, shit, that's bad. And then in slow-mo, I was like, oh, fine. Good hit. Yeah. You know? Like, because Oshie's head, like, hits the back of Panarin's nameplate. Like, that's kind of when the head contact was made or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the argument you can make is Panarin maybe blindsided him, but Oshie also has to have his head up. Like, Oshie 100%. He has the puck on his stick. And, you know, listen, I actually was one, and not to bring up another hit, but I thought the Rempe hit on Bastion against the Devils, I thought that was actually a dirty hit. I thought Bastion's head was buried. Like, Oshie's head here isn't buried. Is it lunged forward a bit? Yes. But Panarin just hits a guy who's not looking. Like, I think that's perfectly fine, especially in the playoffs. Like, if that's a regular season game, maybe you call it to police the game a bit. In the playoffs, perfectly fucking fine. That's what you see. It's all about banging bodies, all about, you know, taking a shot when you can. And listen, anyone who's played hockey, if you've gotten cheap shotted in a game, you take a fucking number. Panarin knew exactly where TJ Oshie was. He saw a spot and he fucking went for it. So
to go out and be like, oh, if that was Tom Wilson, he would have been suspended. He has been suspended irrelevant. Before. He has been suspended before for those exact type of hits. So it's like, if you micromanage everything and you go back and look at different plays, obviously there's going to be different scenarios that.
But look at the hits Wilson's had in the series that haven't been called.
Right, exactly. So I just think, like, everybody's got to tone it back a little bit. It's playoff hockey. We got to understand that, like, we can't complain about all these calls and then micromanage the ones that aren't called. Like,
yeah. Although these refs have been an all-time bad.
They have been, but like, you look at the situation with Cooley and Wilson, right? Cooley gives him a little sack tap, and then Wilson elbows him in the head, right?
Cooley nut tapped him.
But then Wilson elbows him off the draw. I think that washes it out. That's just playoff hockey. Let them play.
I can't believe Cooley hasn't gotten like any attention for that, though. That's like been so under the radar.
You know why? It's because happened to Tom Wilson, dude. Nobody cared. Like, that dude, the amount of shit that dude's done to people and players, like, they just don't care. They're just like, if it was somebody else, like, if it was like, you know, it happened to, I don't know, Ovi or like, you know, somebody else. Yeah, sure. But
Wilson, and not a lot of people saw it. Cody, I don't know if you saw it. Avery and I definitely saw it. What would you call it? Like a sweeping of the leg?
Are you talking about the sack net?
Yeah.
No. Trouba was like kind of going down behind the net, I think, in the first period. And like,
I missed part of the first period.
You missed part of the first period. Yep. So he like swept his leg around and tripped somebody. And it looked like UFC, like ground, whatever you fucking call it. Avery would know better than me. But it kind of went unseen. And it hasn't popped up or anything, but we got away with some stuff, but so did they. It's playoff hockey. That's what happens.
That's the thing.
It is a gritty series that we're in right now. Yeah. And
which is good though.
Yeah. No, right? It just bothers me that everybody goes back and looks at every single little play and complains. And then when they start calling penalties, then they're like, oh, you know, the refs are taking control of the game. It's like, pick one. If you want playoff hockey, let them play. If you want them to call 1,000 penalties, let them call 1,000 penalties. But you can't just sit in the middle and bang and bang for both. It's just not possible.
Yeah.
So here's my other like take on Panarin now going forward. I think game three, and hear me out here, it might be one of the biggest challenges, I think, of Artemi Panarin's career. Going into Washington, and now he is kind of a villain or target, if you will. Capitals fans are not happy about that hit. And listen, the Rangers have played in some tough environments. You think back to Pittsburgh in 2022 in round one. You know, Panarin's played back in Columbus after leaving Columbus, and he's been booed before. But I don't think he's ever been booed like he will be on Friday night in Washington, D.C. I think the fans are going to be all over him. Not that that's the end of the world, But I'm very curious to see how Artemi Panarin handles himself in game three, knowing that now I'm not saying he's like a target, but you know for a fact the Capitals are going to try to respond here and try to hit him, you know, and 100%, make
his but if there's people. One guy, if there's one guy that I'm okay with them trying to go after is Panarin, because he's just going to dangle around him. He's so skilled.
No, he's the one guy I don't want them fucking touching.
No, I know. No, I don't mean it like that. I'm saying he is so skilled that if they try to make runs at him, he's just going to make a move around him. Like that's just the way Panarin has always been, is he's been able to avoid hits his entire career. Like his longevity, he's going to last longer in the league because he just doesn't get hit that much. So if they try to take a run at him, he knows. I think he's smart enough. He has the hockey IQ to make those plays to get around him. And the Rangers are going to protect him, obviously. He's our number one player. I don't really have any fear for him. The only thing is that he's just going to get heckled the whole game, which he does every time we walk into Columbus. And I know the playoff atmosphere is a little different, but I still think, he'll be fine. Yeah, Cody, relax.
There's also rumors that the lines on Friday night are going to be Panarin, Trocheck, Rembe.
Shut up.
Okay.
I do think, though, and this is me being a little bit dramatic, so just take it as you will, I do think game three could be like a Ranger legacy defining game for Panarin. If he gets heckled, like I actually think he will and probably should. If I'm a Caps fan, I'm fucking going after him. But if he absorbs that and embraces that and has, let's say, a big game, goal, assist, whatever it might be, we're seeing a different guy, you know?
For the rest of playoffs, you're saying?
Well, just I think that's just going to spark everything that we've looked for in him. Like, this hit was such a big sign, and to Avery's point of listening to Morning Cup of Hockey, like, when you see a guy like Panarin throw a hit like that, you know, how many times do you hear Maple Leafs fans begging for Marner to be more physical, and now Canucks fans begging for Pettersson to be more physical? Like, you look for your guy, your go-to guy, your $11 million guy to bring everything. And Panarin's done that in the first two games. Even Trocheck, like after the game last night, I asked him about Alexi and Artemi stepping up physically. And he was like, you know, when you see those guys doing it, it's a message to the rest of the team that everybody better be doing it. So
yeah, and I do want to say, like, not only because you just mentioned Lauf, like, not only has this guy stepped up physically, he's had a phenomenal first two games, and he sneakily has three assists. Okay. And I know, you know, one of them was definitely secondary for sure, but
I think all three were.
No, I think his first goal, like, he set up pretty well.
The first assist was the play off the wall to Trocheck to Panarin in game one. The second one was, I think one of them
he made a nice pass and set it up.
I think they're all secondary, but either way,
regardless, I think he's having a really, really good playoffs, and like, he hasn't clicked yet in the sense of like scoring goals, but I think we're looking at a totally different Lauf than we saw against the Devils.
He was invisible against the Devils.
He's the fifth, sixth top guy on this team. Like, he's not, you know, one, two, three. And I think he, like, every shift he's on, I'm noticing, and, you know, I think he's playing really well. And I mean, obviously Trocheck's just, I mean, he's just been unreal. Like, he's probably the MVP of the first two games, in my opinion. But I think that line is elevating, and I do think, like, Lauf is really noticeable every shift he's on the ice.
I think he could still create a little bit more. He hasn't created as much as we've seen in regular season.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But he's playing more physical, so it's like a trade-off, you know? But, dude, Lauf had, like, it felt like 3 to 5 grade A chances every game in the regular season. I haven't seen him have like a real, like, you know, oh fuck, he should have buried that one. You know,
I mean, dude, these are tough grinder times. Like, you know, like, these,
I'm not trying to be critical.
I know, but like, these two wins, and you know, I know you disagree with game one, but like, I don't think these two wins were pretty at all. Like, I think they were, both wins were not pretty wins, and it was a battle of will and a battle of, you know, testament, and we're the ones who outlasted them. And that might happen the next two games if, you know, we sweep them, or if it happens in 5, 6, 7, whatever it is. But like, I think every single game against these guys is going to be grinders. They know they're not nearly as skilled as us, and they know they're not as good as us. So they're desperate, and they're going to do dirty things to try and, you know, get an edge on us. And like, it's up to us if we want to let them push us around or if we want to stand our ground like Panera did. So,
well, so to that point, I have a couple of topics I want to bring up before we get into fan questions. So let me ask you just off of that, Cody, the last 2.5 minutes of that game last night, Rangers hemmed in their own zone. I believe it was Keandre and Truba that were on the ice for, I think, 2.5 minutes. I don't think Fox touched the ice in the last like 4 or 5 minutes. And I tweeted like during that little span there, this felt like a Henrik era game where you're sweating it out and, you know, Rangers getting hemmed in their zone. Feels like the pucks are just coming and coming and coming, and the goaltender has to continue to make saves. Was there any concern though? You know, even while Washington was dominating, to me, it was like, they got this, you know, like the thing different was, than years past.
It's so weird because I was more nervous when the puck was behind the net than when it was in front of the net. If that makes sense. Like, yeah. I feel like it's just, again, they weren't creating those grade A chances. And I think the fact that they've been playing so well against Ovi and really locking him down, knowing he can create those chances, knowing he can score those goals, I think that is like truly the difference maker. And, you know, it's obviously testament to our D these two games, but was I nervous? Like, yeah, I'd be lying if I'm saying like I wasn't nervous those last 2 minutes.
No, but compared to like, you know, years sure. past, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, compared to like Henrik Lundqvist era where you're like literally on the edge of your seat shitting your pants. Like, no, it wasn't like that at all. But I would say I was definitely like, okay, when Tom Wilson scored that third goal, I was like, okay, like what's going on here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm just a little bit. I was also eating, guys. Obviously I have somewhere to be after this. I'm starving. I haven't really eaten today. But now that the food's gone, I just want to say that I think that, and I understand that expectations are high, but I really do think that us as fans, and I wouldn't say it any three of us, but I am seeing it a lot where it's like disappointed after winning a playoff game because we got hemmed in and we didn't win 5-0 or we didn't win 5-1. I just think like the playoffs are so different in that there's so much desperation. And just because the Capitals are the worst team in the playoffs doesn't mean that they can't hang in there with the Rangers on any given night. And you have to understand that the playoffs, when really is there ever a pretty win? You look at any series right now, just because, you know, Edmonton dominates in one game, it still ends up being a 1-2 goal game. These are all...
Sorry, that was the one game I was thinking of too.
Right. And you know, they have a lot of guys to put up. They have a lot of guys who can put up a lot of points, but they're still close games. Just because you're playing a lesser opponent, they're going to still give it everything they got. They're NHL players. The Capitals, it's not the best roster, but they got guys who can play, young guys who are fighting to stay alive in the season. And when you get comfortable with a lead, it gets tough. And the Rangers have done that. And obviously they can play better. We know that top to bottom. But they've also played well in the aspect of, alluding to Johnny's point, they haven't really given them that many opportunities. Even when we were hemmed in, the puck didn't really find the way to the front of the net. And when it did, Igor made the save. So it was just like, I think there were a couple breakdowns that led to Washington's goals that I think can be cleaned up. I really don't think the Rangers have played bad hockey. And when they play better,
two of the three were on the power play for Washington.
Right.
And they were also off like dumb penalties. Like
exactly. Like a too many men penalty in the playoffs is unacceptable, especially when a guy's coming down 1-on-3 on your power play. There should be no reason why you're getting a too many men penalty.
And you know, taking the penalty is one thing, but then when they score, it makes it that much worse, obviously.
Right.
Especially when you're in a 2-goal game and now it's a 1-goal game and now we actually do have to sweat it out. So I think those are the little things. And they did something like that in game one too. And, you know, these are the types of things they need to clean up. And luckily, they have a couple of games to do that. But, like, you make that type of mistake against a Carolina team, like, they're going to make you pay for it. So that's when I say we're not playing the first two games pretty, don't care. The only thing that matters is 2-0. That's it. That's the only thing that matters in this series. We could beat them 10-1. We could beat them 4-3, 1-0. Doesn't matter. We're up 2-0. That's literally the only thing that matters. But what does matter to me is that going forward, like these next two games, like they know their identity. We need to like take that and we need to be the hockey team we were all year, because that's what it's going to take to beat a tough Carolina team.
Right. Like if the Capitals won yesterday and they got outshot by 40 shots, you think they'd give a shit? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all about results. All about results. But also to Cody's point about having it be ugly, like the fact that the Rangers find a way out of that game, like that's what it's going to be like next round against Carolina.
Yeah. Right.
So,
and I'm good with that. If we can get out, if we get outshot by 40 shots and win 2-1, don't care.
It would definitely be stressful.
It would 100%. Totally. Yeah. I would survive. But yeah.
Totally. Blood, cholesterol through the roof. But
yeah.
You know what I mean?
But also the last point I wanted to make too, big for the special teams. In game two, the Rangers get two power play goals. The penalty kill, although it wasn't as good as game one, you know, the Rangers, I think are still they've only allowed 2 on 9 attempts. And something that I asked Peter Laviolette, which I think is very interesting. And actually I'll shout out, up in the Blue Seats, cause I was listening to their show a little bit today and they were talking about the PK. And if you really think about the Rangers penalty kill, they have Vincent Trocheck and Barclay Goodrow as the first pair, then Chris Kreider and Mika Zibanejad as the second pair. Adam Fox is also on the penalty kill. They have 4 of their 5 first power play guys on the penalty kill, which the question I asked Laviolette, and I'll plug the clip, but like...
Just in regard to the penalty kill again, do you think it's advantageous for you guys that you have a lot of your power play players also killing penalties so they might have the instinct of what the other team might do on the man advantage?
I think a lot of teams do that. You know, they're some of their top guys on the power play, and they think the game as a power play guy and then defend it inside of the kill. But, you know, that being said, we also had guys that weren't on the power play, and they did a pretty good job as well.
It's got to be a little advantageous to have 4 of your 5, like, number one guys on the PK, because instinctively – they look at what the other team's power play is doing and kind of know where to go, know what the reads are. And you look at that shorthanded goal they scored last night. I mean, Mika Zibanejad picks the pocket of Alexander Ovechkin, who had no fucking idea what he was going to do with the puck. And I can't believe how well they've shut down Ovechkin in the first two games. And then Keandre Miller to have the balls to join the rush in that position and Mika to even see him and know he's there. Like Keandre said after the game, I have no idea how Mika saw me.
Yeah, they showed him on the bench.
One of the prettiest goals they scored.
They showed him on the bench, literally.
DeAndre right after?
Mika and right after the goal, and he's like, how'd you see me?
No way. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the tic-tac-toe was just unreal.
But on the flip side, too, like, I know there was – I don't know what the reaction was like on the TV, but when Gaudreau had the shorthanded chance in the first period and dropped it right to Oshie, you know, that's obviously Oshie going drop, you know, fucking with him. But I think it's a good sign knowing that the Rangers are willing to go for it when shorthanded, when teams typically, you know, they just get the puck, they ice it. Maybe that's a little bit safer, but when you have these four guys that can score goals at any given point, willing to try to create offense shorthanded, I think it's a huge benefit to the team. And that's why, you know, I asked Laviolette about it. That's why I think the Up in the Blue Seats podcast was talking about it. Like, it's a new era of hockey where the skilled guys also have learned that skill to PK. Like you think back in Rangers years past, like who were the PKers? Like Blair Betts, Ryan Holweg, like all these fucking guys that were just animals. And now you have your top guys doing everything, you know, like Vinny Trocheck is a guy who does everything. And I just think that is so beneficial in the long run. I don't know if you guys have a thought on that, but the PK has been huge so far.
Yeah, no, I agree. You said it really well. And before you just made me think of something before we do get into fan questions, like totally separate topic, but do you think Fox is getting a little bit in his own head in these first two games? Like
about what?
Like just in terms of like, he hasn't really produced. I haven't noticed him that much throughout these first two games.
I thought he was really, really strong last night against Tom Wilson. He had a couple plays where he battled with Wilson one-on-one, and I actually thought he like almost out-muscled Wilson, which was like very impressive. Okay. But it's not as flashy as what we've seen. Is that what you're saying?
I think what I'm looking at is from a lens of like, you look at Adam Fox and top 20 vision guy on the ice in the NHL, in my opinion. I think he creates plays. Better. I think
like top 10.
Yeah. I just, you know,
fuck whatever. You.
you weren't trying to glaze. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But also like, he's a guy who like every time he touches the puck, more often than not, he creates magic. And I just haven't seen that in the first two games. And
he had that sick rush last night where he like did the curl and drag. And I mean, he didn't score, but on John Carlson, it was like a 2-on-1. I actually thought he was going to pass the puck. I've never seen Foxy like not pass on an odd man rush.
Yeah.
What, I just show you up?
No, that was all. I don't think.
I agree with Cody in a sense. Like, he hasn't really done anything like super flashy yet, but I think he will. And I also think that it's just different. Playoffs are different. You can't really do the same type of stuff that you do in the regular season so often, you know?
I'm gonna respectfully disagree on that one with you guys. I don't think it's been as, you know, like he's not dangling guys.
Listen, when you have
you can't do it all the time in the playoffs. It's completely different.
But I wouldn't say he's like in his own head or anything.
No, he's definitely not. No. I don't think that.
Yeah. Idiot.
He was talking to you, idiot. Avery.
You talking to me?
No, I was talking to Cody.
Dummy.
I was talking to Cody.
Your hats are cute, guys.
How jealous are you? 1 to 10.
Because you guys don't have the Rangers ones, I'm not jealous.
Yeah, 0. Yeah.
Bro, if it makes you feel better, your hat looks like you got it at a fucking seaside boardwalk. It looks like you know what I'm talking about.
Like brand. I know exactly what you're talking about, but I'm repping the brand.
Bar mitzvah.
Hey, you guys with your $150 hats. Let's get into questions, Johnny.
All right, let's rock.
The first one, let's go to the bottom. Ooh, Ryan Murray, 1624. And I feel like this happens a lot, this question. Is it time to change Pop Van Sucks to Wilson Sucks?
No.
I mean, no. If anything, like, do a player. If you change that to Wilson Sucks, it's almost like giving in. Like Tom Wilson won, I feel like.
Fuck you, Tom Wilson chance going the whole
and that's fine. Game. And that's fine. But like, if we're changing that chant, it's to Crosby, or it's to, you know, it's to somebody who actually deserves it.
Just chant Wilson Sucks. Like, in my opinion, of anybody, Islanders, Devils, like any team that the Rangers play, he is my by far most hated player, without a doubt.
Really?
Yeah.
Tom Wilson, you said?
Yeah, 100%. The way he plays, he's not a bad hockey player, but he plays a very dirty style of hockey, and you see it all the time.
Yeah, that's fair. No, he's definitely a scumbag.
You can point out 4 to 5 instances every single night where he makes a scummy little move.
I'd love to have him on our team.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Marchand.
Yeah, it's like you love to hate him.
Absolutely. Dude, I fucking love Sean Avery, but you know, people said the same thing about him that I say about Tom Wilson, but people would love to have him when he was playing in the NHL. So
All right, next question.
Mike_D92. Game 3 is feeling like a must win. Agree or disagree? I couldn't disagree anymore.
Yeah. hardcore disagree.
Listen, they're probably gonna get one. They're probably gonna get one.
Yeah, they probably are, but I think it's gonna be game 4. I think we go up 3.
If it's gonna be any game, I feel like it's gonna be game 3. Like it's gonna be the toughest one. The building transition.
I think the Rangers know that. I think the Rangers know that, and I think they're like ready to go to war. Like, they know fans are gonna be jawing at Panarin all night. They know the Caps are gonna try and get under his skin, Rempy's skin. Like, I think they're ready for it. I think you guys would be surprised. I think they've been preparing for this shit.
To that point, you think about the last two playoff exits. Both blown 2-0 leads.
I saw that tweet today.
In the back of their minds.
It's mental, dude. It's mental. Is all I'm going
to
say about that.
I'm not concerned if they drop one, to be honest. I'm not.
Yeah.
Next one. Anxiety_845.
Okay.
Do you think Rangers having the easier team will affect them next round versus a harder one? I don't think it's going to affect them at all. If anything, sure, it's like a bad team technically, but the games have not been easy by any means.
Can I say a hot take? I think the last 2 months of hockey, like last 10 games aside, I think the Capitals were a tougher team than the Islanders. Just my opinion.
Well, it's playoffs.
Yes, but I'm saying like the Canes are playing the Islanders and they're probably going to beat the Islanders and they didn't have a tough test. Maybe we didn't have a tough test.
They just came back from down 3-0.
And I know. But were you ever in your mind throughout that series? Are you worried in any instance that the Islanders can beat them? Like, no, you're not.
No, not at all.
So there's your answer.
You just got to take it game by game, guys. You can't start thinking about next round. Let's just figure out what happens game three, then go to game four. Like, we can't start thinking about how the Rangers are going to react to whoever they play if they make it to the next round. They still got to take care of business here. I don't like thinking too far ahead in terms of that. But the Rangers, you got to beat the best teams, man. They will be prepared regardless of who their opponent is. And they've taken care of business for the first two games, and hopefully they continue to do it. But you can't just sit and be like, oh, the way they're playing against the Capitals, they have no chance against the Hurricanes or the Islanders. It's just like, you gotta tone it back.
Each series is different. Each game is different.
It's all matchup based, right, too. I mean, it's
they all take it game by game. Trouba thought they got 2 points the other night.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I know we've said this a couple times, but like, there's a good chance Rempe doesn't even play against Carolina. Like, it very well might be Brzezinski. So it's
Phil.
Or Phil. And that changes the dynamic of the game, right? So it's like, they're a faster team. They have a lot more skill. Like, you know.
All right, ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Perry _ Kunavelis. Have these been the two worst officiated games this year?
I think because they're micromanaged more and they're the playoffs, people will say that. Yeah, I can't think back to a point this season where there's been a really bad poorly officiated game.
Wasn't there a game where we had like 3 goals turned over?
Maybe.
I think there was. That game was the like worst officiated game I've ever watched. I'm pretty sure it wasn't our 3 goals. I think 2 were us and 1 was the other team. It might have been against the Devils. Or a New York team, but like, that was the toughest game to watch, where we just had goal after goal unturned, and then they did too.
Wasn't there like a thing in the beginning of the year, like the Rangers were like 0-12 on like reviews or something?
Yeah. Or like one.
Long story short,
definitely up there.
By far the two worst.
Definitely up there for sure.
All right, you guys are gonna like this one, and I'll shout out Charlie Krasinski and where's his buddy Zach Briganti. This is pretty funny. So Charlie said, me and my friend said, what's up to Johnny at the game? Very cool and down to earth, LFGR. And then Zach said, that was Charlie. Zach said, it was great meeting Johnny tonight. I expected you to be taller, not going to lie, but great guy.
Yeah.
Just shout out to those two guys. I talked to them in between the second and third period, but fuck you, Zach, for that chirp. I'm like 5'10".
Yeah, also, man, I guarantee you, Johnny swapped digits before he left them. Guarantee.
No, I don't think so.
I told him to DM me that whenever they're famous now.
Johnny's got more followers than me, bro.
Yeah.
Bro, you're famous, dude. You're fucking sick.
I'm excited to come back to the Garden, though. I can't wait to see everybody. It's going to be fun soon.
Pre-game meetup, American Whiskey, Avery, you set it up?
Yeah, we'll do something 1000%, whether it's a pregame meetup or a post-game.
I would come to.
Yeah, bro. And I haven't drank in over a month, and I can't wait to drink again.
Have you started praying to the gods that the Rangers wouldn't fall on May 18th? Because I have. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still praying to the gods that concert happens, Cody.
Yeah.
If anybody's going to Morgan Wallen on May 18th. Meet up with me and Cody because we'll be sitting one section apart.
We didn't even tell Johnny about this.
You guys don't shut up about it.
We bought MetLife, massive stadium. We literally bought
next to each other, right?
In the same section, one row apart, right behind each other. So like, I'm literally going with Avery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild. Wow.
That's awesome. That'll be fun. Maybe I should just go for the tailgate.
You should.
All right. Next one, Joe Manzi 55. This is a two-parter. And Avery, I want you to answer the second one because I feel like you have better advice for this. Biggest thing to look for now that we're on the road. And then he also said, huge fan, also trying to get a job in sports. Any suggestions?
Okay. Wait, what was the first part? I'm sorry.
Biggest thing to look for now that we're on the road. I think scoring first is huge.
Yeah, scoring first, always drowning the building out, and I think just continuing to limit the Capitals' chances. Igor is going to make that first save 9 times out of 10. Just don't let them get those second-chance opportunities, and the Rangers should be able to clean up in Washington. But we'll see. And the second part of that question, and it's a great question, and I do get asked it a lot, I really think you just have to be persistent. You have to – you can't just say you'll do anything, right? And that was like the biggest thing when I was trying to get into Barstool, was everybody said that they could do anything, right? And they're not looking for that. They're looking for specific stuff. Teach yourself things. I taught myself Photoshop, Adobe. I started making whatever for anybody who needed it. And my big break was I volunteered to do the Islanders and Bruins streams at Borelli's. And I was driving to and from Long Island every other day. And the streams ended up blowing up and became a thing where they basically couldn't not hire me. So just be persistent.
I didn't know you weren't working for them when you were doing that.
I was. I wasn't on full-time salary. I was just an intern still. I mean, it felt like I was working for them. I was doing, you know, four things at once, but it's tough. You know, they just laid off a ton of people last year. Like, it's tough to get a job, and I understand. And, you know, anybody can reach out to me and if they have any questions, but just be persistent and don't stop. And it always ends up paying off for the people who don't give up.
Mm-hmm. And the only thing I would add to that too is don't be afraid to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you want to post on social media, post on social media. And here's the thing too, that some kids don't understand until they kind of ask, but people are afraid to follow up. You know, if you email someone once and they don't respond, like, give it a week and then follow up, give it another week and then follow up again. Like, I always say rule of three, like, give people three chances, and after three, maybe you move on, but don't be afraid to follow up with people. And another thing is, like, you know, if you want to work for a specific company, and Avery, you could probably agree with this, is actually advice I got from Large at Barstool. When I was a junior in college, he said, if you want to work for any company, just pretend as if you already do. You know, when you apply, they're not going to ask you, what can you do for us if we hire you? It's like, what have you already done? You know, so that's a big thing too, that I would say, as far as working in sports.
That's spot on.
You can, I agree. Be persistent. Reach out to us. Don't reach out to Cody, because he gives shit advice. But in all seriousness,
successful.
What? But Cody's very successful. If you want career advice, reach out to him. Just on sports. If you want diet advice and shows to watch at 9 o'clock at night, reach out to Cody.
I got you.
I love you, dude.
Bro, the last show Johnny fucking watched was How I Met Your Mother in like 20. No,
I watched Dave, dude. Dave is my show.
Dude, that show fell.
Cody, are you a Star Wars guy?
Love Star Wars. Yeah,
dude, I started watching the...
I feel like you guys have talked about this before.
I started watching the animated show called Bad Batch. It's awesome.
Yeah, dude.
Awesome.
Star Wars rocks. Dude, Star Wars and Marvel? Come on, bro.
Phantom Menace being re-released in theaters on May 4th. I'm going.
Yep. Couldn't catch me there.
Why?
All right, let's ask the last couple here.
Oh, God.
Right. What? No, do you want to talk Star Wars more? I mean, I'm...
No, but... No, let's.
I got
let's
another fucking show to do.
I do want to talk the draft for 5 minutes at the end. The NFL draft.
NFL? No, we're not doing that.
No one cares.
I just want to hear
you can call me if you really want to talk about it.
Yeah, no one cares. No,
I don't care that much.
Brandman 7694. Do the Capitals make a goalie change? I say no.
0%. No, absolutely not.
0%. They're already in the thick of it. No chance. And both games have been close. Like, they've been like, no chance.
Mm-hmm. Hockey all day 757. That's our boy Pete. Where were you in 2015 when the Rangers beat the Caps 4-3 in the first round? I believe it was the second round, Pete, because it was to get to Tampa in the conference final.
Oh, step on goal.
Got you, Pete.
Step on goal. I was at the game.
Yeah, I was there.
I was at the game.
You were too, Cody?
Yep.
Wow, look at us all spoiled. All right, let's do two more.
I have one Timmy. Too. Someone sent me a DM.
Oh, really? Let's do that one. Do you have it? Oh, you have it up?
Yeah, I have it up. This is from Alex Collins, A Collins 611. He said he's a big fan of the show. Also wants to see the shows on YouTube because he likes watching.
Yes, this will go back on YouTube. Yep.
And
I just forget to put them up.
They want to roast us.
He asks
Chris Kreider, will his number be retired dependent on winning a cup, or has he done enough if he never gets one to get a banner?
So if he becomes the all-time leading goal scorer for the Rangers, he'll get his number retired.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Johnny?
This one's so tough for me. I think it'd be one of those, like, it doesn't happen right away, but maybe like in 10 years, you know, like maybe if he like contributes to the community as well, which I think he already kind of does, you know, similar to like an Adam Graves, you know, Graves' number wasn't retired right away. It took, you know, a pretty long time.
But if you think about
it,
he already has more goals than Graves. And
No, I'm not saying nothing about the goals. Just like Graves had the cup though. Does Graves get his number retired without the cup? I don't know.
It would be tough. I think that
I want it to happen. I do.
If the Rangers win the cup and he ends up in like top three of scoring, it's a lock.
Rangers win the cup, it's a lock.
Yeah.
Lock.
Yeah.
Rempe's fucking number would get retired if the Rangers win the cup.
Statue.
They'll have to take down the Knicks rafters and put up more Rangers.
Okay. Let's do two more. Timmy Higgs, at what point do you think Laviolette considers Brodzinski over Rempe, if at all?
There's your answer, Carolina.
I'm curious to see how Rempe handles the emotions on the road. I could see Brodzinski going in game four if Rempe doesn't really.
I'm
not concerned about
it. I agree with that.
I think Rempe, like, I really do think he's learned a little bit over these last like couple games, you know, since he got called up and in the stadium series. And I'm telling you, man, I think he's not going to make like the type of stupid mistakes you think he's going to make because
he had some big shot blocks too yesterday. Like he was good.
I'm telling you, he knows the pressure on him. Like, yes, he's a kid, but he knows the pressure on him. Like, I think he's really going to be cautious. And like, even if he rings the bell or gets in a fight, I think it's going to be one of those things where he like looks to the Rangers for approval, like to go at it. I think he knows like what's at stake, like present trophy winners, like possibly top cup contenders, at least top three. Like he knows what's at stake. I don't think he's going to do something stupid and he wants to be here, right? Like he doesn't want to not play against Carolina. If he has two more strong games, yeah, they're going to fucking play him over Brodzinski because they know he can handle playing in a playoff series now. So I do think these next, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 games are going to be very important, you know, to see how he handles everything.
And then the last one, Matt Betts, 25. Any chance we see Jones in for Gus? Maybe not this round, but at some point in the playoffs. Gustafson's play that he made on Trocheck's goal yesterday, that first goal of the game. Holy fuck, what a play that was.
It bought him about 4 more games.
Yeah, sick play.
Yeah, there's no chance. I mean, if you look at like, you know, Gus reminds me of like when we had Braun, right? Like 2 years ago. It's the veteran presence. Like,
also, this is the former team of his.
He played a lot. And Gus is definitely more skilled than Braun, but I agree.
They're not. I mean, they're locked into these guys. Like, unless he plays catastrophic and allowed, you know, he's on the ice for 7 goals in one game. Like, sorry, Jonesy. I love you, but it's just not happening, buddy.
I want to see him get in, though, for sure at some point.
Me too.
We'll see.
Yeah.
And then the last one, I'll just give a shout out to our boy Jackknife 82. He turns 30 in 5 days, which we'll record again in the next 5 days. But he wrote, Johnny, please don't forget Jackknife when he turns 30 in 5 days. So just
King.
We'll shout out
him. King.
We'll shout out him. Before we do end the episode though, Avery, talk about the Blue Crew merch, where people can find it. And then I gotta give one more shout out as well. So iamblueyork.com. We got sweatshirts, crewnecks. Saw some people actually rocking them at the games recently, which is great. So thank you to everyone.
Our boy AJ Castiglia made it. It's awesome.
It's so awesome that people not only listen to this all the time and actually buy the merch and rep it, especially at the games. Like, there's obviously so much stuff you could wear to wear those to the games. It's incredible, and we really appreciate all you guys. And when I say that the merch is worth the price, like, the quality is so good. That's a big thing that AJ and Alex at Blue York, they always preach, is quality. And I understand it is a little expensive, but it's worth it to me. 100%.
No,
you pay for what you get.
Yeah. And I just want to shout out as well, Low Sports Gear. I actually asked them to send you guys some stuff too, but lowsportsgear.com, lowsportgear.com. They sent me these like cool fabric, like hoodie, like jersey hoodies.
Oh, it's fire.
Yeah, that's sweet. Johnny told them to send us shit, but didn't give them our address.
This is a Mark.
No, he has
we're gonna get
sent
back to him.
Yeah,
oh, that's
one of them. Yeah. And this is the other one I wanted to show quick.
That
the
was
other
Cavs,
one looks
dude,
sick with the,
not
with the retired numbers. Yeah, dude, I'd rock that around the apartment.
That's gas, dude. Yeah, that's fire.
Yeah,
all with pretty cool. Hammer.
That's heat. That's heat.
So yeah. Check out lowsportsgear.com for those. But any final thoughts before we wrap it up, boys? Game three is Friday.
I hate that.
It is Wednesday. No. Yes, we got one more day.
Also, if any of you are looking to drink on Friday, go to Jack Doyle's. Let's get it.
Cody will be there. And just a heads up, don't yell at me on Twitter. I'll be covering the Islanders home games 3 and 4. So just putting it out there right now before anyone calls me a traitor and whatnot.
Is that why you're wearing orange today?
No, it's a sick hat. And I think I actually might pay out of my own pocket to just travel with the Rangers the rest of the playoffs and cover every game.
Dude, I'll fund you.
After this round. Would you?
Yeah.
I need the money, dude.
I agree. I think that if the Rangers continue to go forward, so I'm coming home May 10th. And if they just keep rolling, I told work, I don't think I'm coming back. Yeah, I told work.
You're not coming back?
I mean, I haven't
got to stay, bro.
I haven't booked a flight home.
Yeah, you got to stay.
I booked the one way. I said, guys, like I will work remote. We have a remote office in the city now. I just,
do you?
There's just no chance. Yeah, it's like a WeWork. But
let's all chill one day and work remote.
Yo, yeah. Bro. Trying to
chill.
Maybe. All right, we gotta go, guys.
Wait. The last thing I want to say is I have a question for Johnny. So obviously the Knicks are up 2-0. Like, what's your vibe check, and like how far do you think they can go? Like, do you think they can beat the Seas in the Eastern Conference Finals? I know the Pacers.
Celtics are loaded, dude. Celtics are loaded. Pacers don't concern me. The Bucks, if Giannis comes back, because Giannis is hurt right now,
yeah,
that'd be a little
they got
scary.
Dame
but
too, right?
What's up?
They got Dame too.
Yeah, they have Dame.
Yeah, bro. I know ball, bro.
I know. You do know hoop, dude. You know hoop. I actually, my buddies invited me to go to Philly this weekend for one of the games, but I can't go. I would have loved to have gone. That would be sick. But yeah, the Knicks, man. Like, I went to game one. It was fucking electric in there.
So,
like,
so awesome. You didn't answer my question though.
Well, how far do they can go? Yeah. I don't think they're beating the Celtics. So I'll say conference final. If they beat the Celtics, I'll happily eat my words. But
hell yeah.
I just don't see it happening.
So I should not have bet my buddy a steak dinner that they'd beat the
you
Celtics.
Did?
Yeah.
Oh God, that's a dumb move.
Yeah. I never mind betting steak dinners and stuff.
Not me neither.
You get something out of it.
See the boys, bro. And honestly, it's only one person I did the bet with, so it wasn't like a group. Because if it was a group, I'd
Gene Steakhouse?
Wherever he's in Boston, so he's gonna, you know, hopefully he doesn't make me go to him because then that'll be a problem. But
yeah, make him come.
Probably
to
gonna
city.
Happen.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah, but all right, boys. Embiid's a bitch. LFGR, baby.